Tonight, we are on concept 12, page C48 in the back of the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual, which reads, General Warranties of the Conference in all its proceedings. The General Service Conference shall observe the spirit of the AA tradition, taking great care that the conference never becomes the seat of perilous wealth or power. That sufficient operating funds, plus an ample reserve, be its prudent financial principle. That none of the conference members shall ever be placed in a position of unqualified authority over any of the others. That all important decisions be reached by discussion, vote, and whenever possible, by substantial unanimity. That no conference action ever be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy. That though the conference may act for the service of Alcoholics Anonymous, it shall never perform any acts of government. And that, like the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, which it serves, the conference itself will always remain democratic in thought and action. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks, Brooke. It's Billy Alcoholic. Hey, everyone. Thanks for dealing with the schedule, but December is filled with lots of work, Christmas and holiday related evening activities. So did the best I can. I did get a couple of emails. I'll answer a quick question before I get into the warranties. I have not compared the PDF of the new service manual to the last issued service manual. So I really have no answers about what was moved around, what was changed, what was put in there. Truthfully, I have no idea. I have asked somebody who I think might be able to help with what was changed and what was moved, because that makes things a lot easier. And if I get that, I'll share it with everyone, but I don't have that yet. So we're on concept 12. I want to start off with reading a little of the introduction, because it's super important before we get to actual warranty one. It says, the concept here consists of Article 12 of the Conference Charter. There are good reasons for placing it in this context. Taken as a whole, our Conference Charter is the substance of an informal agreement which was made between the AA groups and their trustees in 1995. It is the agreed upon basis on which the General Service Conference operates. In part, the charter is an elastic document. Its first 11 articles can be readily amended by the conference itself at any time. But Article 12 of the charter stands in a class by itself. This is where it gets super important. An amendment or a cancellation of any of its vital warranties would require the written consent of three-quarters of all directory-listed AA groups who would actually vote on any such proposal. And the considerable time of 6 months is allowed for careful deliberation. Although changes in the warranties of Article 12 thus have been made difficult, they have not been made impossible. It is clear that all of these warranties have a high and permanent importance to AA's general welfare. This is why we believe we should permit change in them only upon positive evidence of their defectiveness, and then only by the common consent of the AA groups themselves. We have ranked them, therefore, with AA's 12 traditions, feeling that they are quite as important to AA's world services as the traditions are to AA as a whole. So a couple of things to remember. When this was written, this concept, late 50s, early 60s, published in 61. The steps were still not mentioned as far as needing three quarters to change. At that time, it was the traditions and the warranties. This concept 12 has always been Article 12 of the conference charter. So just think about the importance that, you know, Bill really had with the traditions and the warranties. But here's what I think is the most important, probably, line. The warranties of Article 12 are a series of solemn undertakings. You can call that a formal, deep promise, which guarantee that the conference itself will conform to AA's 12 traditions. Just think of that. The conference itself guarantee that the conference will conform to AA's 12 traditions. And then it goes on to say what, you know, what warranty 12 is, which we will go through them individually. In the next paragraph, it says there are significant aspects of these warranties which should be considered. Notice, for example, that all of them are counsels of prudence. So cautions, caution, cautiousness, prudence in personal relatedness, prudence in money matters, and prudence in our relations with the world about us. For us, prudence is a workable middle ground, a channel of clear sailing between the obstacles of fear on the one side and of recklessness on the other. Prudence in practice creates definite climate, the only climate in which harmony, effectiveness, and consistent spiritual progress can be achieved. The warranties of Article 12 express the wisdom of taking forthright for the future based on the lessons of the past. They are the sum of our protection against needless errors and against our very natural human temptations to wealth, prestige, power, and the like. So it's some real heady, kind of strong message from Bill, just of warnings. And I want to throw out one warning, which I throw out with the traditions, because Bill says the warranties and the traditions are the same. Is if you start out from a place trying to find a way around a tradition or around a warranty, that should be like a red light going off, flashing in your eye. That, and I said this the other day, and I actually said this and I was speaking in another country, and I didn't even know if they had the same traffic laws as our country. But since most of us are in the US, you know, I'm sure we all know what a stop sign is. I'm not going to debate the finite issues of what a proper stop at a stop sign is, especially in a room full of alcoholics, right? But if you read the law or if you go to driver's ed, a stop sign is a full stop. If I go back to my driver's ed teacher, he always said that unless you feel the car move a little backwards from the brakes, you haven't made a full stop. But I think we can all agree a stop sign is a full stop. Now, in certain places in America, I could tell you a place right around the corner from my house, because it's a street that cuts through two main streets. It cuts from Central, from Military Trail to Central. And a lot of people use it as a cut through. On that street is a stop sign with red lights around the edges that flash. In the motor vehicle law, there is no extra requirement for stopping when lights are on a stop sign. As far as what you need to do, it is the exact same thing. What the red lights mean is that an accident or a lot of them has happened there before. And even though you have to make a full stop, just like you would have to stop at a stop sign without lights, the lights are there to tell you, wake up. This is a stop sign where a lot of people have not paid attention and tragic things have happened. And I look at the warranties and the traditions as the same. Like the lights are flashing around it because if you don't follow them, other people have done the same thing and it has not turned out well in Alcoholics Anonymous. We'll start with warranty one. The conference shall never become the seat of perilous wealth or power. What is meant by perilous wealth or power? Does it mean the conference should have virtually no money and no authority? Obviously not. Such a condition would be dangerous and absurd. Nothing but an immediate but an ineffective anarchy could result from it. We must use some money, and there must be some authority to serve. But how much, and how and where should we draw these lines? The principal protection against the accumulation of too much money and too much authority in conference hands is to be found in the AA tradition itself. So long as our General Service Board refuses to take outside contributions and holds each individual's gift to AA World Services at a modest figure, we may be sure that we may not become wealthy in any perilous sense. No great excess of group contributions over legitimate operating expenses is ever likely to be seen. Fortunately, the AA groups have a healthy reluctance about the creation of unneeded services, which might lead to an expensive bureaucracy in our midst. Indeed, it seems that the chief difficulty will be continue to be that of effectively informing the AA groups as to what financial needs of their world services actually are. Since it is certain, therefore, that we shall never become too wealthy through group contributions, we need only to avoid the temptation of taking money from the outside world. And I want to stop there a little bit. So, the first thing it talks about, so long as our General Service Board refuses to take outside contributions. So, it's not only the seventh tradition, it's warranty one. The door is shut on outside contributions. But the next line is where I think we're headed on a collision course for the warranty. And I will give a big shout out to Kevin Pryor. I use his last name because he's the non-alcoholic Class A treasurer of the General Service Board. I saw a presentation he gave this weekend. If you were to group individual or even group contributions in buckets of 1 cent to $25, $25 to 50, 50 to 100, 100 to 200, 200 to 300, 300 to 400, and 400 to 500. You would see if you looked at the metrics of our contributions. If everyone or every group that gave a lot of money stopped, like over $1,000 a year, we would not be in big trouble. But if every group that gave between $1 and 400 cut those in half, we would be in really big trouble. So I want the disclaimer I want to give, same with individual contributions. Is that it is very true that currently large contributions from groups or individuals are not overshadowing the smaller most of the contributions. However, we have raised the individual contribution rate from 3,000 to 7,500 in a short, like 15 years. We just went from 5,000 to 7,500. And listen to what this warranty says. So long as our General Service Board refuses to take outside contributions and holds each individual's gift to AA's World Services at a modest figure. The next jump, based on how we've been jumping, might be $10,000. Is $10,000 a modest figure? I don't believe that 7,500 is a modest figure to the average member of AA. I actually don't think $7,500 is a modest figure for a household that makes over $100,000 a year. $7,500 is a lot of money. Now, the reason I worry about it going forward is I take what the treasurer said is that right now we don't have this problem. But let's just call our expenses for the year $11 million. And let's say we make, like, I don't know, 2 million in literature profit or whatever. But let's just say we depend upon 11 million in contributions. If you divide 11 million by 7,500, that's 1,466 people. If you divide 1,466 by the number of areas in the United States and Canada, that's 16 people an area. And why I give big caution around this warranty is I think wherever you go to meetings, wherever you go to groups, wherever you go to AA, you know, there are certain people who are decent speakers. You know, there are people who are really good GSRs, are really good in-a-group chair people. What I'm talking about is inside AA, we have some very effective communicators. And if financial problems did get really bad, if you, do you think the number one communicator, whoever you think that is in your AA world, where you live, do you think that person, if our financial survival was at risk, could find 16 people to give $7,500? I live in South Florida, Area 15. The last time I checked, per group or per supposed AA member, we're the largest as far as contributions. But I live miles away from Palm Beach Island, down to Fort Lauderdale, down to Miami, over to Naples, up to Sarasota. Would it be really hard if AA's future was on the line to find 16 people? I don't think so. But what I worry about is, take that 11 million and then divide it by 10,000 if we make that step. That's 1,100 divided by 93. Now we're down to 11. I'm going to pick on Area 49 for a second. That is Southeast New York. If you're not familiar with that area, let me explain the geography. It starts all the way out in the Hamptons. I don't think I need to address the financial condition of the Hamptons for most people, okay? It goes all the way from Suffolk County to Nassau County to all five boroughs in New York City: Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and the Bronx. It then includes the northern counties of Westchester, Rockland, Dutchess, Sullivan County, Putnam County, I don't even need that whole area to find 10 people. I'm not even sure I need more than half of Manhattan to find 10 AA members who could afford $10,000. So us playing with this number is really changing the game. And I do not believe that 7,500 is a modest number. I don't know. I wanted to ask the finance committee what they define as a modest number. And again, I'm going to read it. Each individual's gift to AA's World Services at a modest figure. I threw out 100,000. 7,500 is almost 10% of 100,000. How can anyone consider that a modest amount? Or have the people who are to attend conference and the people who sit on our boards, are they out of whack? And I don't mean that derogatory. I mean, do those 135 people come from households that have a much higher household income than the average member of AA? So they don't consider 7,500, they consider, 7,500 as modest. I've wrestled with this because I know some people think it's not a big deal. But $7,500 based on the current tax rate in the United States if you make $100,000 a year. But I'll go down to 50. I think there's a lot of AA members who would like to make $50,000 a year. But 50,000 a year, if you pay income tax, is like 40, okay? Depending on the state that you live in. Is $7,500 a modest amount if the amount of money you actually take in is $40,000? No. It's close to 20%, almost a quarter of what you make. I think we're going to have to keep a real eye on this. It says in the matter of giving delegates and trustees and staff enough authority, there can be little risk. Long experience now coded in the 12, codified in the 12 concepts suggests that we are unlikely to encounter problems of too much service authority. On the contrary, it appears that our difficulty will be how to maintain enough of it. We must recall that we are protected from the calamities of too much authority by rotation, by voting participation, and by careful chartering. Nevertheless, we do hear warnings about the future rise of a dictator in the conference or at the headquarters. To my mind, this is an unnecessary worry. Our setup being what it is, such an aspirant couldn't last a year. And in the brief time he did last, what could he use for money? Our delegates, directly representing the groups, control the ultimate supply of our service funds. Therefore, they constitute a direct check upon the rise of too much personal authority. Taken altogether, these factors seem to be reliable safeguards against too much money and too much authority. But what I just read. If we keep raising the individual amount, will that safeguard really be there? If the delegates can only really influence the groups, what about individual contributions? I saw a question come in. I'm just going to see if it's one I want to answer now or later. Is there a different limit for the bequeath, or is that same 7,500? That is $10,000 one time. That is $10,000 one time. And that number really worries me. Because if we raise that number again, imagine we tried to like make a concerted effort for everybody to leave $10,000 in their estate to AA. I don't want to bore people with actuarial mathematics, but there are a certain percentage of people in AA who die every year. That's not good news, but that's life. None of us get a ticket that's good forever. And the older I get, the more I seem to take notice of that fact, that none of us are here forever. What about if too many people started leaving 10 grand? Now you're talking about forget alive people giving 7,500. Are you going to tell me there's not 16 people who are going to die in Area 15, South Florida in 2024 who couldn't afford to leave $10,000 to AA? I know that's not true. These are numbers we really have to look at. We have seen why the conference can never have any dangerous degree of human power, but we must not overlook the fact that there is another sort of authority and power, which it cannot be without, the spiritual power which flows from the activities and the attitudes of truly humble, unselfish, and dedicated AA servants. This is the real power that causes our conference to function. It has been well said of our servants, they do not drive by mandate, they lead by example. While we have made abundantly sure that they will never drive us, I am confident that they will afford us an even greater is inspiration as they continue to lead by example. So, don't think we'll ever have a dictator in AA. I don't think the conference will ever go on any kind of power trip. But I do think the way we protect that is through contributions and group contributions being the main source. So, warranty two, again, not to pick on current AA times. Sufficient operating funds plus an ample reserve should be its prudent financial principle. You can look up the word sufficient and ample. But that is the concept. I mean, the warranty. Sufficient operating funds plus an ample reserve should be its prudent financial principle. Well, AAWS and the General Service Board seem to be on target that they are going to have a very decent year. But are these warranties just for AAWS and the General Service Board, or do they apply to the Grapevine and Lavinia too? The Grapevine and Lavinia are on track to lose 1.4 million this year. Definitely 1.2 million. If they're going to lose 1.2 million, that is not sufficient operating funds. And our prudent, or what we call the reserve fund, which is a fancy word for or phrase for our reserve fund, is down to 6.1 months. We're doing $1 million of construction next year. We have an international convention coming where, if we don't get 45,000 attendees, the reserve fund pays the shortfall. And the Grapevine and Lavinia are going to finish this year $1 million too short, so they're going to need operating cash. This 6.1, we define our reserve fund healthy between 9 and 12 months. So it's really going to become interesting. And I'm not saying this to be anti-Grapevine or anti-Lavinia. I do believe that we probably need a new business model. Grapevine and Lavinia may have to become a service. I'm just saying. But if it does become a service, that million too still has to come from somewhere. If it's not coming from podcast subscriptions or app subscriptions or hardcover regular print Grapevine subscriptions, that million too has to come from somewhere else. There's only two places it can come from: contributions or literature profit. So we're either going to have to get way more contributions, or we're going to have to raise the price of literature if we were to think about making AA Grapevine or AA Lavinia a service. But that is not the model currently. Right now, truthfully, we have already raised literature prices to serve Lavinia and the Grapevine. When they need money from the reserve fund, most of the money in the reserve fund has not been put in there by the Grapevine. It's been put in there from excess group contributions or excess literature profit on the AAWS and General Service Board side of the house. When we take money out of that reserve fund, if the Grapevine and Lavinia, let's say next year they have a spectacular year, that would mean losing 600,000 instead of 1.2 million. Still requires money from the reserve fund eventually. So there's a direct correlation between losing money on Lavinia and the Grapevine and the cost of literature. I'm just throwing these things out there so people are aware. It says, in this connection, we should pause to review our attitudes concerning money and its relation to our service effort. Our attitude about toward the giving of time when compared with our attitude towards the giving of money presents an interesting contrast. Of course, we give a lot of our time to AA activities for our own protection and growth. But we also engage ourselves in a truly sacrificial giving for the sake of our groups, our areas, and for AA as a whole. Above all, we devote ourselves to the newcomer, and this is our principal 12-step work. In this activity, we often take large amounts of time from business hours. Considered in terms of money, these collective sacrifices add up to a huge sum. But we do not think this is anything unusual. We remember that people once gave their time to us as we struggled for our sobriety. We know, too, that nearly the whole combined income of AA members, now more than $1 billion a year, has been a direct result of AA's activity. Had nobody recovered, there would have been no income from any of us. And if that was a billion in 1961, get lost in Google and figure out a bunch of things, and you can tell me what you think that $1 billion is today. It then goes on to say, when it comes to actual spending of cash, particularly of AA service overhead, many of us are apt to turn a bit reluctant. We think of the loss of all that earning power in our drinking years, of those sums we have might laid for emergencies or for education or for kids. We find, too, that when we drop money in the meeting hat, there is no such bang as when we talk for hours to a newcomer. There is not much romance in paying the landlord. Sometimes we hold off when we are asked to meet area or intergroup service expenses. As to world services, we remark, well, those activities are a long way off and our group does not really need them. Maybe nobody needs them. These are very natural and understandable reactions, easy to justify. We can say, let's not spoil AA with money and service organization. Let's separate the material from the spiritual. That will really keep things simple. But in recent years, these attitudes are everywhere on the decline. They quickly disappear when the real need for a given AA service becomes clear. To make such a need clear is simply a matter of right information and education. We see this in the continuous job now being done with good effort for our world by for our World Service Delegates, committee members, and General Service Representatives. They are finding that money begging by pressure exhaustion is unwanted and unneeded in AA. They simply portray what the giver's service dollar really brings in terms of steering alcoholics to AA and in terms of our overall unity and effectiveness. So, I consider Bob W. a good friend of mine. I served with him as a trustee. He's the current general manager. But he's had to send out 2 years in a row letters. And let me read this. They are finding that money begging by pressure exhaustion is unwanted and unneeded in AA. People have called me and asked me, what do I think of those letters? I say, well, Bob has done the best he could with those letters, but they sound exactly what like Warranty 2 is telling us we shouldn't do. It sounds like we're putting a lot of pressure on groups. This much done, the hope for contributions are forthcoming. The donors can seldom see what the exact result has been. They well know, however, that countless thousands of other alcoholics and their families are certain to be helped. And that's what I always say. We have to describe that money as miracle money. That's its job, to carry out miracles. And we got to worry when the high percentages of costs are for things other than carrying the message. So I want to skip over to page 52, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth paragraph. I want to talk about literature profit. If I could tell anyone to help us in any way possible, stop talking about literature sales. And stop talking about literature revenue. And stop carrying on this kind of like Kennedy assassination conspiracy theory of that we get as much money in literature as we do in contributions. It's simply not true. Embedded in the cost of literature is the cost to create it. In accounting terms, we would say the cost of goods sold. We sell a new big book or the new plain language big book for 11 bucks. It costs like $6 to make. So we're not making $11 every time we sell a big book. It's literature profit. And the truth of the matter is, over the last couple of years, literature profit has gone down because the cost of paper and ink has gone out of control with inflation. But even in years when we were making good literature profit, it was never more than 30% of the budget. 70 or 80% was always coming from contributions. But the other thing is that we never talk about what Bill warned us about. And it's another warning along the lines of the modest gift that each member should give. It's Bill's belief, which I think is one of the greatest things in AA, that AA should never be run for or by the rich. That the wealthy do not get extra influence in Alcoholics Anonymous. It just can't happen. And Bill writes here, some of us have another concern, and this is related to so-called book profits. The fact that AA headquarters and most of the groups sell books for more than they cost is thought to be spiritually bad. But is this sort of non-commercial book income really a profit after all? In my view, it is not. This net income to groups and to AA's general services is actually the sum of a great many contributions which the book buyers make to the general welfare of Alcoholics Anonymous. The certain and continuous solvency of a world services rests squarely upon these contributions. Looked at in this way, our reserve fund is seen to actually be the aggregate of many small financial sacrifices made by the book buyers. This fund is not the property of private investors, it is the wholly owned by AA itself. While on the subject of books, perhaps a word should be said concerning my royalties from them. The royalties from my income from book buyers has enabled me to do the rest of my AA service work on a full-time volunteer basis. These royalties have also given me the assurance that, like other AAs, I have fully earned my own separate livelihood. This independent income also has enabled me to think and act independently of money influences of any kind, a situation which at times has been very advantageous to AA as well as to me personally. Therefore, I hope and believe that my royalty status will continue to be considered a fair and wise arrangement. So, you can Google and find Bill's royalty agreement. It's easy to find. There's one thing you should know. Bill W. might have been able to make an income off of his royalty agreement. But Bill W. did not become rich off of his royalty agreement. That would be Lois W. after Bill died, okay? All you have to do is look at the amount of books sold before Bill died in 1971. From 1939 to 1971, all you have to do is look at the amount of books sold and the royalty agreement. There was no multi tens of millions of dollars in it that went to Bill W. Now, when Bill died in 71, did anyone have any idea that AA would keep growing? That in the 1980s we would have our first treatment center boom? Big books would be sold, 1 million books a year or more? No way. No one ever saw that coming. But that money went to Lois and any further people. Today, there is no one who gets royalties. It's an important fact to know. The last surviving family member of Bill W. that received royalties died in 2000, I want to say 12 or 14. It was one lone relative who lived to like 104 in a senior living community in Florida. And every quarter, she would send a handwritten thank you note. Handwritten. But once those people passed away, the royalties did not pass on. I think Bill wanted to stress that there are groups who might be in really economically stressed parts of our country in Canada, where there's lots of unemployment or more percentage of newcomers. And maybe they don't, those groups don't make a lot of contributions, but they buy their books from us. And Bill said we should consider their books a contribution. Whenever anyone goes off the deep end about literature profit, I always say to them, do you want the rich to control AA? I don't. When you walk down the hallway at GSO, or when you get off the elevator, what you'll see is like the Serenity Prayer in like, I don't know, 15, 16 different languages on the wall. You know what you don't see? You don't see like a list of like, these were our platinum donors last year. These were our gold donors. These were our silver donors. Knowing the egos of AA members, could you imagine how much money we had if those plaques were at GSO? We would have so much money. We would have so many problems. these two warranties, and I wanted to really stress these two and then do four next week, are so important and so tied around the spiritual principle of contributions and giving. I know how much I individually give the General Service Board a year. And I try to follow that. I consider what I give a modest amount based on my overall financial status. But I know my life today compared to my life when I was 6 months sober, 11 years sober, 15 years sober. It's the one thing that sets us apart from everybody else. We don't take outside money, and the money we do take, we don't give individual credit to. Some inner groups list the names of groups that participate. That doesn't bother me too much. I kind of like that because sometimes I think there's a lot of group members who have no idea whether their group gives or not. And by give, I mean make a contribution to district, area, inner group, the General Service Board. And I know a lot of people who have noticed their group didn't contribute because they didn't see it on the list from their inner group. However, I would change my mind for the inner groups that list the amount of money that groups give. Because not only should any individual not have more authority or power in Alcoholics Anonymous. No group should. If you're the largest meeting or group in your district, your inner group geographic location, you should not be able to pull out that card. You should not be able to tell inner group, we want it this way because we give this much money. And I can tell you, as the chair of a large nonprofit board, I have to deal with donors who give a lot of money. And guess what? They have a lot of thoughts about that money. Some of them even restrict its spending and say, we can only spend it on this. That's another thing about the General Service Board. We don't take restricted contributions. It all goes in the general fund. Other countries are allowed to put money into the World Service Meeting Fund, but the money that we take from our people, it all goes into the general fund. Bill W. knew that. Not only do people's ego get in the way, but groups' egos get in the way. And the way that Bill wrote this, the poorest with the highest unemployment group in the United States and Canada that can barely pay its rent, that can hardly ever make a contribution, has as equal a say in what goes on in Alcoholics Anonymous as the group that sends the most money. And that makes us so different from other places. And for our members, if you plan on dying, fine. Me too. I don't look forward to it. But if you don't think $10,000 is enough to give to the General Service Board, well, then there's a pamphlet that lists every inner group in the United States and Canada, and give that to your lawyer. Okay? If you're so worried about all your money going to AA, send it to a bunch of different inner groups. Send it to a bunch of different districts. It's just you can't send it all. Most of those people or entities follow the suggestions of the General Service Conference. And by the way, the big book tells you to be a citizen of the world, to be of service to God and those about you. Which I take means that AA only wants a modest amount from me. But there are plenty of other places in the world we can find that might need financial assistance. And that's separate than AA, including places like Stepping Stones and Dr. Bob's House. Those are not AA. They sound like AA. They look like AA sometimes, but they're independent non-AA foundations. And they can take more money than we can take. And again, as someone who served on that board, it is the number one difference between our organization and every other nonprofit, except for other 12-step fellowships. We limit the amount of contributions. We limit the amount of authority, and we don't want anyone thinking that they have more say in AA than someone else. And I'll just finish off by saying, if we keep li lifting the individual contribution, in 25 years or so, we will find ourselves, it won't be 80% group, 20% individual contributions. If we keep lifting the individual contributions, that smaller group of people is going to have more buying power. And like soon, in 25 years, we could end to be 60-40 or 50-50. And then we have to worry about the power of the purse might not exist anymore. That if the group's unhappy with the board, the way Concept 7 says, they won't be able to exercise the power of the purse because the board will be able to re rely on individual contributions. And again, I stress before I shut up, the individual contribution limit is supposed to be considered a modest gift amount. So that's it, and I'll go to questions. Let's see. Do you know how many members contributed the maximum in 2022 or 2023? I don't know the exact number, but it's around 25 or 30. It is not a lot. It's not a lot. But think about that. 25 times 3,000 is 75,000. That's what that group of people could contribute total 12 years ago. 25 times 7,500, that same group of people is now giving 187,000. And I would just tell you, 187,000 compared to 75,000, inflation's bad, but that not that bad. The power of the dollar might not be what it was, but it's not that bad. Like, if we keep raising it, if you look at how long it took us to get to 3,000 compared to how long it took us to get to 7,500, if we keep raising it at that same yearly time space, it's going to eventually catch up with us. What's your view about AA being a services organization, not a financial organization, hence why we have financial difficulty? I don't think it has anything to do. Every nonprofit in America is a services organization, the way I look at it, pretty much. My company's not a financial organization. That sounds like a bank. Bill W. says, I'll read it just so I don't misquote him, it sounds like the person who heard that question. Sufficient operating funds plus an ample reserve. Bill W. says in Concept 6, we have to be an effective business operation. No, I think we're having financial difficulty. Because we have to look out in the and say what where do we want to be in 2030? What's our plan for what do we look like in 2030? Not next year, but 2030. We don't need too much money. I've said that many times before. We're a weird organization. Not enough money causes us problems, and too much money causes us even more problems. We are the best excess budget spenders in the history of excess budget spenders. Alcoholics have never seen a project they don't like when they have the money. So, yeah, we just have to have enough money to pay our bills. And sometimes, that requires difficult choices. I can take one more question before we go. Someone just said 187,000 doesn't sound like a lot in a $20 million budget. I don't know where that $20 million budget is coming from. It's really like 18. But I'm talking about the 11 million of contributions, not counting literature profit. Again, I don't think 187,000 is bad yet. I am saying if you look at how quick we're raising the individual amount, the person who asked this question, I know where you live, and I believe in that area. If you gave me a weekly podium because AA was out of money, I could find 15 people in your area who can afford $7,500. There's another question about all groups in the city now have fellowships of drug users who make contributions to other levels of service. That's a very complicated question. Once the money comes in from a group, it comes in from a group. So that's it, Brooke. Thanks.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.